For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Dougherty, Just Sayin', Kelly Barlow, and Cindy Gerson. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Yule Brov. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. And as usual, here I am with my little bestie, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm having such a good day, bully good.
I'm so excited that we are finally covering the Real Housewives of Auckland. People have told us it's so good, but we hadn't watched it until this week when it finally premiered on Bravo very quietly in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. And it was admittedly about 6 days ago, so certain details are going to be a little hazy. But what a fun way to end a week of crappins than by talking Real Housewives of Auckland.
This show, you know, the imports are some of our favorite things to cover. This one is new. It's, you know, Kiwi, so the accents are a little different and all over. And we're still getting to know the ladies. We just had one. I warned everybody on Shaw's on Monday. I don't know what the fuck they're saying a lot of the times. And I didn't want to make this a five-hour event. So I'm just going to go with my notes, even though they're probably completely wrong and crazy.
Yeah, no, that's fine. This will be interesting. Luckily, we have Below Deck with its mix of South African, Australian, and British accents. So we've sort of, at this point, I feel like we've just kind of settled on a pan non-American English accent. That's a mix of, it's sort of just a little bit of everything. So I'm assuming that our New Zealand accents are just going to wind up sounding like Bugsy and Wes at all times.
Yeah, and a mixture, because then everybody there is from someplace else. So they're mixing accents. And, you know, they get better as the season goes on. They will get better. But for right now, they probably all like this.
And actually, it's funny because a lot of times when we do our Australian accents, people tell us that we sound more like New Zealand accents than Australian. So maybe this is the show we've always been waiting for.
Well, then maybe we'll finally get it right.
Yeah.
On accident.
Yeah. That being said, oh, God, did I love this episode. I was cracking up. I thought it moved briskly. I was thoroughly entertained by all the ladies. I thought they were funny. But most importantly, I felt invested in the big feud. Like, I immediately was taking sides. There were immediately people I liked, people I disliked, and I loved it.
And then I was changing sides, because then you kind of change sides throughout the feud. I mean, it has everything. Now, every time a new Housewife show comes on, I love how they open it, because, you know, every Housewife show has to do that. We're rich, and in this town, the rich are up here, and the poor are downtown. Rich people have elevators. Poor people have stairs.
In this town, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And where can you get your scones? Because rich people eat scones.
Poor people have furniture stores. Rich people have Crate and Barrels. It's over there, like Crate and Barrels, like Neiman Marcus or whatever.
In this town, if you're rich, CB2 means check behind two people, because they're the ones who are poorer than you.
In this town, rich drive Rolls Royces. Poor people get driven over by Rolls Royces. It's like, okay, ladies, okay. I like that this one starts at ghetto. They warn us what they're getting us into. They're like, okay, we can only find a few rich people to do this show. Because this one, the first line is, where new money meets old. And attitude is everything. I'm like, they're warning us they have poor people and poor people who survive on attitude alone. That's two out of three that are poor.
Even the sheep wear jewelry here. I've been making a lot of sheep jokes.
I'll tell you what, the sheep here are not sheep. They're expensive.
We don't have wolves in sheep clothing. We have sheep in chic clothing.
For a home here, you have to have cash. But money alone won't open every door, which is why rich people have keys.
If you didn't have money, you don't have a doorway. But if you have money, you have a door. By the way, I fully missed the opening thing where they're just talking about this is what it's like. And I'm just making up what I imagined they were saying because I saw it happening. But like I was watching with my friends, Neil and Nate, and we were sort of like very excited and settling in. So we sort of missed this first part. But I
watched this and took notes on the entire little 2 minute segment. And I was dying laughing, Ben.
That's why I didn't tell them to rewind. I was like, you know what? Ronnie's writing it all down.
In New Zealand, the rich don't have wax in our ears. We have coins. So she's like, we're rich. And then they cut to like a party on a patio in a backyard. I was like, yeah, there you go, ladies. Just dropping those coins everywhere you turn. And someone goes, you're a runt. It's how you get it. And more importantly, how you spend it. It's so funny.
In New Zealand, that's it.
We have two letters at the beginning of our names, N and Z.
Listen, we're not from Old Zealand. There's not even an Old Zealand. We're so rich, we're always new.
In a city of sails, you gotta weather any storm. If you can't navigate the waters, you'd better batten down the hatches. It's like, okay, now we're getting into weather. Okay,
yeah.
Now we're getting into maritime weather. Can we scale it back, ladies?
In the city of sails, if you need to be towed along, then I'm not going to be your tugboat.
So their opening lines are pretty amazing.
Julia, who looks... Julia's the one who looks like the chick from Felicity and the Americans, right? With the real tight Joker smile.
You know what? Let me bring up their names because I have their names. I have to remember their names, their faces. I just remember Louise is like the main one. Oh, Julia is the blonde one, right?
Yeah, she looks to me just like Carrie Russell, just like her.
Okay.
And she's got that creepy Joker smile like Carrie Russell has. Like they were taught when they were young, don't smile too big because you look poor or whatever. So they have that like real tight lip Joker smile like that.
Right.
But her line is, if people are talking behind your back, that means you're in front.
Yes. I like that line, actually. I was like, that's a good one. I like that. Unless you're just walking in a circle, in which case. You know.
Yeah, or unless you're like in a firing line. Or like it's not always best to be in front. You know?
If your friends are always sitting to the left of you, that means you're always right.
And then Michelle, the model, she's like, I used to strut myself, and now I'm the model housewife. And Louise, who's like the older one from...
The Weakest Link.
She's like, I made my money the old-fashioned way. I inherited it. Which I think is a brilliant line.
Yes. Sorry, Angela, I'm still looking up the cast.
No, it's okay,
because
I wrote down every single thing. Yeah. Angela, who's the big football player model, who's like being played by the same actor that played Hagrid in Harry Potter.
And she's... and also, what's her face from Melbourne? She looks just like, well, she doesn't look just like, but she looks
the
a lot
angels.
Like Shine.
Angels on my shoulder, both of them. They're shoulder pads sitting on angels sitting on shoulder pads. It's a pyramid of angels and shoulder pads. Shine. She looks like a giant version of her, and she's like, my name may be Stone, but everything I touch turns to gold.
Except for stones, which is sort of odd.
Yeah. That turning everything to gold, remember that fable? That didn't end well. Like, he touched his daughter, then she turned to gold, you know? Like, you can't masturbate. That story never ends well. I don't know why people say that.
Also, next time you turn your leaves into gold, you're going to get yourself knocked out when you throw them on your head. So that just.
Then we've got Gilda.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not Gilda.
No, no,
Gilda's
no, no.
Gilda's
like
the Iranian chick.
Yeah, she's Persian New Zealandish, which makes for a very strange accent.
Yeah, she's like, I never stir to fight, I can't win.
Right.
She's and always then, totally bored and non-energetic. She's like, yes. Hello, girl, so excited to be here.
And then Anne, I wrote down Anne's. I thought Anne's was funny because it like didn't really have an arc to it. She's like, I'm like a fine champagne. I bubble, I fizz, and I'm the life of the party. I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be like, and I pop off or something.
And she's like the small one who poses really hard. They're like, okay, give us two different poses. Because, you know, you move back and forth in your housewives opening. She's like, oh, man. Boom, boom, boom. Chin, shoulder, shoulder, chin, pelvic bone. She's just popping off all over. I need that girl in every scene. So yeah. There's two Rolls Royces. Gilda's in one, and Louise is on the other. And yes. Gilda's like, Louise. Sorry, I'm going to be doing that the whole show.
It's
Louise
okay.
is like, I like my friend Gilda. She's smart, she's stylish, and she's always invited to the best events in town. And Gilda, there's a party. It's the party. It's a fishing party.
Gilda, you want to go to the fishing party? Yes. Great. Your enthusiasm's infectious.
I don't go out much because I have the kids, etc. You remember what that is like, no?
She's like, no, not really, darling. I really don't.
So we start to learn a little bit about who Louise is. And the very first thing she tells us is that most people remained in me because I was the hostess of The Weakest Link in New Zealand. And they show like footage of her being like, I'm sorry, you're The Weakest Link. Good boy.
Yeah.
Which is something that should be said on these shows way more often than it is.
Yes, this show, it's about time we got a crossover with The Weakest Link and this show. It's like, sorry, Joyce.
She's like, a lot of people see me as just, oh, they'll have a good fun with it. I was just this is The Weakest Link. But what people don't know is that I'm a professionally trained actor from a top acting school in London. I was in Our House when I was 14 years old. So there, Our House.
People think that I'm just a lady on TV who says one line, have another thing coming. I've got a theatre company.
And she's walking around a set, and she's like, it looks like the set's ready. He's like, yes, ma'am, the set's ready. She's like, what about the F word? Have I had any complaints about that from the trans people? Yes? Well, that's what we like. I'm like, oh, look at you, having the balls to pull off the odd couple. In your community theater or whatever.
I'm going to stage my one lady production of Pretty in Pink, the musical.
She says, I'm sure when people hear my name, they say, Louise Wallace, that old bitch. Well, they can think what they'd like. It doesn't bother me. Mikey, you know you already have your opening line, right? Like, yeah, everything yeah. she says is her opening line. She's like, I don't just go to fashion parties. I am fashion in parties.
And then she said, then she started introducing us a little bit more to her life. She goes, we live in Auckland's most prestigious street, Prashahasha Drive. I was like, what? Prashahasha Drive?
Drive.
You haven't been to Prashahasha Drive?
And then she gives us another opening line. She goes, yes.
As my mother would say, you never try to keep up with the Joneses. We are the Joneses.
Real original. Wow. Never heard that before. What a fun play on words. Louise, I'm sorry, Louise. But your mother's turn of phrase is The Weakest Link. Goodbye.
Well, I have a lot of help. I've got me gardener, Christine. Hello, Christine. She's like, hello, Mum. She's like, are those flowers for me, Christine? They sure are. She goes, Christine, she's an absolute dig.
I just lied. Could you tell? I'm an actress.
Hi, let me guess. You're making your family lamb tonight. How'd you know I was making lamb? That's all you make, miss. You dig, Christine.
Keep it up, Christine. This lamb material is going to play real well.
Her list of employees is probably my favorite of all time. We always get a list of employees from the rich ones. And she's like,
I've got so much help being a Jones. I've got the ironing lady.
And it just cuts to a lady ironing.
A pool boy, a handman slash builder, and a guy who looks after the lawn. And what do? Not a lot. Like, how much ironing do you have that you have an ironing lady?
Well, she's not so much that she does a lot of ironing. She just plays the role, because guess what? They're all members of my acting troupe. Everyone?
Life is a theatre company. Am I right? You're a dig!
We're doing Oklahoma next week.
She goes into her gay mute husband, and she's like, which outfit is better, honey? And they're both hideous. They're both like old lady clown costumes. They're both terrible. And she's like, what makes Scotty and me work is Scotty doesn't need to be a star as well. I'm the star. One star, and that's me.
He's just an average link. And it works.
He's strong enough to keep my chain together. Did you get that? Is that a go? Is that a go, editors?
Is that a go? All right. Now let me introduce you to my two adult kids. Let's have some fun with them. Hey, kids, dating these days, am I right? How do you learn? How do you meet people? Tinder? Huh. I thought that was something you did to get a...
That's a smaller boat that takes you to a larger boat.
That's a Tinder, darling, not a Tinder. Is this playing well?
Isn't that what they reach into to give you ones from your 20? No, Mom, that's a Tinder. Oh, you kids.
Kids today, am I right? Acting. So we go back to the Soul Bar and Bistro, where the fashion show is happening. And Louise is there, and Gilda shows up, because Louise has invited Gilda and some friends. And Louise is very excited. She's like, it's going to be glitzy. It's a ticketed affair. Like all of my productions at the Louise Playhouse.
And of course, it's another opening line. It's like,
it's a ticketed affair. And of course, I've got the top table. Got it, boys? Does that work for you, boys? It's like, how many seasons of openings are you going to shoot tonight, Louise?
And the top table, they were basically in a Cece's Pizzeria, okay? And they cleared out an aisle. Like, I was surprised Kim D wasn't there, walking down, strutting her stuff.
I'll tell you what's posh. I'll be the judge of that. So Gilda comes in, and she's like, Gilda came from Iran years ago, and she burst onto the social scene. I was like, you know what? When someone comes from a land of war, you should not be using burst in any way to describe them, okay? She's like, wow, I was worried that she'd bomb, but she made an explosion onto the scene. The girl is on fire.
So now we get to meet Gilda. We learn that she has an ad agency, but she was also married to a super rich guy who was much, much older than her.
70s. And she has two kids. He was in her 70s when she was in her 20s. Yikes.
Yeah, and then she waited until she was 29 to have kids, right? And she had two little kids. But then they got divorced six years ago, and the kids are like 7. I'm sorry, that math is not adding up. I am sorry, Gilda. I like you a lot, but that is some funky math. I'm glad you don't have an accounting firm, because there's no way that kid, like the older kid is 6 or 7 and you had that kid when you were 29. No way.
Yeah, no, honey. No, no, no. Yeah. So she's like, wait, I had a very dynamic childhood. And then they show all the family pics and everybody's face is blurred out. I was like, okay, so everybody hates this bitch.
Yes.
Like, exactly. No one would be in a picture with Gilda, even in a memory. They're like, no.
Yeah. So then, unless it could be like some weird international format thing where in New Zealand it's okay to show family members, but in America you can't, so America had to blur them out. I don't know.
Maybe, but I just like to think that everybody hates her. Because yeah, she does have that kind of attitude where she's like, what did I say? What? What did what? I do? All I mean is that you should sit down some of the time. Or standing. It's like everything she says sounds so offensive.
I know. So basically her whole thing is that she came from Iran. She came to New Zealand after the revolution. She married rich, has two kids now. And she looks thoroughly displeased with everything, which I sort of love.
Yeah, she looks very El Paso snooty to me. Like, really rich Mexican ladies from, you know, Mexico, like the nice place. I don't, you know what I'm trying to say? Like the fancy part of Mexico who moved to El Paso, and they're like all snooty at the country club, and they're like, oh my God, these Mexicans. She reminds me of one of those ladies.
Yeah.
So Gilda's like, you look like a Bond girl. I don't know why I wrote that. I wrote down notes for literally everything. I'm so sorry. So Julia comes in. She's the one who looks like Kerry Russell to me.
Yes. And she's like made of wax.
She's like, "Hoi, my name is Julia, and I like looking good. I walk into a room and people look at me, and I say, hello, it's me, looking good."
I feel like Julia is perpetually looking for the spotlight, waiting for her big moment, and it's always being stolen by someone else. You can just see, she's like, here I am. Oh, here comes someone else. All right, okay, fine.
Yeah, because she's the one who had the line, like, if they're talking behind your back, it means you're in front. Wait, I was in front, and someone else that stood in front of me. All right, man, I'll let them in front.
But what happens if I'm looking in a mirror? Then who's really in front? Or am I the reflection? So many questions.
Who am I? We're doing that play next year, Julia. You should come audition.
We meet Julia's gay. His name is Sid. And I was like, who does Sid look like? He looks like someone. And I realized Sid looks just like Anne Frank.
But like a fabulous Anne Frank.
A fabulous Anne Frank.
In skinny white capris and a headband and long hair.
Yeah, he looked exactly, like, honestly, it's. I'm not even trying to be callous about Anne Frank. He just looks like Anne Frank. He's like Anne Frank.
She's so wet, she didn't just come out of the closet. She came out of the attic. Welcome, Annie Frank.
So,
burst onto the scene.
So the best part about Julia is that we then see her 80s commercials where she was a model. Oh my god, so fabulous.
Yes, it's just like a skinny girl in mom jeans and claw hair just leaning on things. It's like, there she is leaning in a cereal commercial. There she is leaning in a bug spray commercial. She's like, yeah, it's right, I was a model. And now my days are so full. There's a manicure, a pedicure. I can't keep up with this. Listen.
Julia, she lives some fabulous lifestyle. Cause I wrote down this thing where her big story was, you know, I went to Peru. I said, let's go to Peru. So we did. It's a great story, Julia.
And my daughter, she's at that age where she turned down Peru to go shopping at Newmarket with her friends.
The other day, I was like, I like this picture. I'm going to print it out. So guess what I did? I printed it out.
When we wanted to buy new pants for me daughter, they said you're going to have to pay for those at the cash register. And I said, I think I'm going to. And guess what? I did.
They said, cash or credit. I said, I'll one up you one more. Apple Pay. Guess what? Bought it.
Hey, you got a PayPal link? Oh, getting crazy.
I have pals in high places, like PayPal.
She's trying on clothes with her daughter, and her daughter's like, you look stupid, Mom. And she's like, well, I've got the legs for this. Be nice to your mother. She's at that age. She thinks she knows about labels.
So yeah, we meet her husband, who's like way older than her. She's like, he's a bit older than me. I'm like, by 45 years, fine.
Yeah, he's okay. Act one of like, I'm trying to think of an old folks movie that I haven't brought up here many times.
Grumpy Old Men.
Okay, that works. Yeah, he's like Grumpy Old Men Part 3, where you're like, wait a minute, they're still alive, and they barely were. They're like reanimating their faces to put them in a movie.
It's like Cocoon 5, Electric Boogaloo.
The cocoon's never open.
Bigger, longer, more cocoonier.
Yeah, he's definitely... She's like, hey, he's a little older than me. And then they show the pic, and he's like, she's in an art gallery now. She's like, we have a passion for art. I have no idea how much we spend. That's his area.
So then the final guest to show up at the fashion show is Angie Stone, who's this very tall, big presence with a crazy perma smile at all times.
Yes.
And my favorite thing is they're like waiting for her, and she just comes walking in, sauntering up to this restaurant so slowly. I'm like, where is the urgency? I would go mad watching her walk up to a restaurant. Like, come on, you could do it. A
yeah,
little further.
Clunking up there, and your bosom buddies. outfit or whatever. So she comes up and she's like, "Oh, I'm Angela." And she's all smiles and positive attitude all the time. "Hello, ladies." She speaks like she's talking to a baby at all times.
And Louise, of course, has the first of many attacks that come Angie's way. She's like, "She's not overweight, but she's a big unit."
Speaking of boats, she walks like she's got a sail. Like, damn.
She's not the weakest link, but she's the one who's going to break the chain.
And Gilda, yeah, she'd break any chain. No one would win my game show if that girl was at the bottom of the chain.
She's more like the wrecking ball.
I had a steady job on television until Angela played the weakest link. That's a big unit. So Gilda, who already knows that she hates her by the time they do this interview, goes, "You know what I thought when I saw her? I said, wow, beautiful, tall, a lot of energy. She's amazing. You know, like when a big dump truck dumps cement all over something and you think, how will that mess ever build something positive? And yet somehow it does.
Like when you see Gilbert Grape for the first time and you say, how amazing that someone could be that big. What a crazy world this is."
Poor Johnny Depp. So Gilda gets to the table and she's like,
Angela.
"Hi, ladies. When I meet people, I believe in giving gifts. So I've brought you all a token. Just a little token. It's a book that I've written because I'm a stylist."
And we should also mention when she shows up, sorry if I cut you off, but when Angela shows up, Gilda doesn't stand up or anything. She just sort of like turns and is like, "How do you do?" And so that's like, I mention that only because that becomes an issue later on. However, I believe, isn't it proper etiquette that women do not have to stand up to greet someone? Women remain seated if the men who stand up. So
I don't know. I just don't think you stand up and hug a building. You know, you just you admire it and wonder how far up it you want to go. You know,
I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to try to hug like a Thanksgiving Day float if it came in. You know,
I mean, I'm not saying so that she's big, and she's looking down at her like, "Hello." I mean, Gilda's
I'm not saying that she's fat.
Yeah, she's not fat. She's literally like a linebacker. She's tall.
She's tall. She's a big unit. And she has that crazy grin that only like parade floats have, you know?
Yes.
It's like Heathcliff is coming down the pike. Like, or Garfield or something.
Yeah, it's like you're checking to see if Snoopy has any bats in his cave, you know? It's like, I didn't want to get up. So Angela, we cut to her life because we're cutting back and forth between their real lives. And she's like,
right.
"I'm from Christridge. I live one wink from Auckland and one wink from Christridge. I'm a serial commuter."
No, it's not Christridge. It's Christchurch.
Oh, Christchurch?
Yeah, which is actually like a city. Remember, it got hit by an earthquake recently, 2 years ago.
Well, she probably just fell down.
You are what you wear. By the way, we forgot to mention, sorry, because I probably cut you off, but Angela, when she said, "I describe myself as a lifestylist, you are what you wear." I'm like, wow, you are what you wear. Where'd you come up with that one, Angela?
Lifestylist, and then her thing is about clothes. Yeah. Like a lifestylist would be like, it's not just what you wear, it's also what room you wear it in and how that's decorated. What's your mood? Let me see that through your plateware. It's not just like, I do the entire lifestyle. Do you like my pants? Hello.
So the important thing here, which I think you were about to get to, is you see Angela sitting in like a pile of dead leaves doing yoga with this like crazy smile. Like it felt like it was one part Shark Tank bio, one part infomercial. And she's just smiling like she's in some douche commercial and like throwing the leaves up and they're like landing on her hair. She goes, I'm really spiritual. It's like, this lady's going to be the worst.
It's now that I'm in my, ding-a-dong-dong, like throwing up the leaves. She's like, now that I'm in my 40s, it's my duty to encourage women in their 40s to love themselves. Because stories about how you'd like others to perceive you. I'm like, way to go, dude. You're like helping people in their 40s love themselves because of how they look. Like, you make no sense. And I love it.
So then, and we should mention the show is now like only about 7 minutes in, and I have just like been just cracking up. Like, I've been amazing already. So it comes back to the fashion show, and Angela's weighing in with her stylist eye on Auckland, and she's like, you know, it's so funny. The women in Auckland, they dress so relaxed. They're in tunics all the time. I can't believe it. And like, the ladies are getting totally offended. Like, are you serious? In Auckland? Serious?
I don't know how they do that. Well, I need some jewels. It's like, no. When the girl, they're like teenagers walking, right? And the ladies are watching them like, wow, a flower dress. This is so original. And she goes, here's what I like. Clean lines. Ladies, everyone needs a great black dress, don't they? I'm like, lady, this is not even fashion advice. It's just like, people need a good pair of pants, don't they?
Sleeves, they're great. This is a chance to actually share my knowledge.
You don't want your breast coming above your dress. It's like, yeah, and we Gilda's, know.
Gilda's getting so annoyed. Her eyelids are just like drooping down farther and farther and farther with disappointment. And she just wants to watch the fashion show. And Angela's talking through the entire show about every single thing. And Gilda is just, she's like, oh, I feel like Angela's commentary is like meteoroids coming at me.
My life being bombed in Iran was easier than a conversation with this woman.
I just want to shove her into a hurt locker.
So Angela, I dress ladies for a living. And Susan goes, or not Susan, the white blonde lady.
Louise.
She's like, she won't come Julia. Up for air. And Gilda's like, you do everything. Oh no, Gilda. You do everything. You model, you style, you dye your hair on the internet. Do you ever sleep, girl?
Yeah. She's so passive-aggressive because she's like, wow, you're able to do everything. Is there anything you don't do? Like, I don't know, shut up once in a while?
Zip your lips. That's not in your repertoire, I take it. So Louise
vocal meteoroid.
You are vocally attacking Iran right now. So Louise is like, darling, who do you aspire to be? Martha Stewart type? And she goes, well, actually, I love Oprah Winfrey. And Gilda goes, well, if you want to be Oprah Winfrey, maybe you should talk less. Because Oprah lets people express their stories, and I've only heard what you do. And Angela goes, thanks, Gilda. Wink.
With the most evil smile. Like, the most evil of evil smiles. So then we go over to Michelle. I think this is now the fashion show's over. We're just meeting Michelle right now. And I really liked her immediately. Even though she winds up being such a bitch later. Yeah. So she's like, I love fashion. So I guess the angle on Auckland is fashion, maybe? I'm not sure. Former models, fashionistas.
I guess. It seems to be. She's like, it's my thing. I worked in fashion, TV commercials, posters. I've done quite a bit. It's like YouTube covers of like whatever. She's like, I've got a nice body of work. I'm married to David. And their kid is just like, ugh, kill me. Just fucking kill me. He looks miserable.
I know. Their kids are going to be so hot when they grow up. I'm not saying they're hot now, but you know, you can tell when kids are going to grow up and be hot.
Model kids. Whenever there's one schlubby one and one model, they all come out kind of hot, I think.
Yeah. And it's interracial. I mean, interracial kids are always the hottest. Not the kids. I'm sorry. Not the kids are not the hottest. They grow up to be hot. Super hot.
She's like, I'm in control of my house. I'm not going to be bossed around. Hey, David, I'd really like proper handrails on these stairs. Like, wow, you flex those muscles, girl. And then we see this home that they built, which is fucking amazing. And these stairs are amazing. They're like a piece of art. And he's like, darling, I didn't just buy these stairs from Bunnings. And she's like, I made sure of that, David. I'm like, yeah, you're really in control over there.
Meanwhile, there's a horse who really has the right idea about all these women, because she tries to get near the horse. The horse is just like, bonk, just kicks her right.
Yeah.
Just like, get away from me.
Yeah, she's like, you little monster. And she goes, has he ever kicked you, honey? And her kid goes, well, he likes me because I actually spend time with him. It's not just pretend when cameras are around. Look at you, little bitch. Good, I hope you fall down the stairs then. So she meets Gilda in the store to gossip.
Yes, about pretty much about Angela.
Yeah, and she goes, so tell me about the ladies. And Gilda's like, well, I met this lady, Angela, who says she's in fashion. And she goes, a Kiwi fashion designer? I've never heard of such a thing.
What you do, design costumes for the hobbits?
She's like, she's a fashion lady, a cake maker, a bus driver, a castle designer. I mean, just lady
professional
does everything.
Lord impersonator.
And Michelle goes, yeah, well, she's everything. Everything but an Oprah. And Michelle's such an asshole. I like looking at a model and then finding their fatal flaw because it makes me feel better because I'm not a model, you know? So I always try and kick them down a peg in my mind. So hers is that her lower lip, when she's not paying attention, she juts her lower teeth out and they're all janky. Yes. And so she just has that like kind of lower janky teeth jaw jut that she doesn't notice until she's getting pictures taken. And they're like, could you please put your donkey jaw away?
Sure thing.
Make me feel better. I'm a model.
So then we go over and meet our final cast member, because we now are watching Julia. I said Julia visits old lady with champagne, and this is Anne. Anne is our old lady with champagne.
Oh, my favorite.
My favorite.
Anne is already by far my favorite.
So, I don't need an excuse to party, but it's my birthday.
Oh, no, that's not her first line. She's like,
I'm the dame of champagne, known as the champagne lady.
And the cat lady. Champagne and cats, you know. So here's the thing. I'm like, the whole thing about, I just love champagne. I love bubbly. Bubbly, blah, 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 blah. It's getting a little tired. But in this case, it works with this woman because she and her husband have a lot of money, clearly. They have a huge estate. And when she says she likes champagne, this is not Sasha with her champagne room. This woman is like, she's got champagne.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, this works.
Yeah, this is just a rich lady really proud to be drunk at all times. That's basically what she's saying. She's like,
why would you be sober in a world of champagne? Don't be a bubblehead in a land of bubbles.
I've had about 7 fiancés. There's Max and Tara and Michael and Julian 2 and Samuel and Roberta. Yeah, that was a strange period of my life. And Robert, which was formerly Roberta, also a strange period of my life. Oh, gosh.
Oh, and then there was Alvers. Oh, well, I married that one. Sorry. He was a nice guy. All right. Actually, I forgot 2. I forgot to mention 2 then.
You know, we are so wild. Sometimes my husband and I, we just open up the French doors and just blast the music and we just party. You know, nothing like an open French door party to get the party start going, right?
Hence the sound control being called.
We are so wild. We also have cats.
Wait, can I say something about cats?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm having a Betty Buckley moment. My niece was recently introduced to cats and has been watching Betty Buckley Seeking Memory over and over again.
Oh my
and then
God.
I learned that yesterday. And then when I was walking around in the Hamptons, on Sunday, when I was walking around the Hamptons, there was a thing that says, Betty Buckley live, sold out. I was like, Betty Buckley, that's so random. And then on the flight back, someone was watching that movie Split, that thriller that came out earlier this year. And
I watched that on the plane back.
Yeah, and it said, like, third name in the credits, Betty Buckley.
How Betty Split, Buckley. I was just about to say that too. I just watched her on the plane back in that movie Split.
Yeah. I was sort of watching it. And then like I was like, no, don't spoil yourself, Ben. And then I started watching and then not watching. Then
yeah,
watching
she's
it.
The therapist. And I was like, oh my God, the saddest cat ever became a therapist. It's like it's like such a nice arc to a career, you know?
Yeah, I think I might watch that. It looked good.
It's pretty decent. I liked it.
I was just afraid. I just didn't want to get startled on an airplane. Especially during turbulence.
There's a little suspense. I mean, it's suspenseful, but it's not disgusting. Like,
no, it looked like it was more of a thriller. Like,
yeah.
It looked good.
It's Shyamalan.
And secretly, I thought James McAvoy looked really good with his shaved serial killer hair.
Yeah, he's kind of hot.
Yeah.
Party! Champagne! Yes. As James McAvoy said in Split, champagne, the only drink a woman can drink and still remain beautiful.
As Jim McAvoy said in Split.
As James McAvoy said in my favorite movie, Split. Let's get more cats, am I right?
I like that she just keeps calling them pussies. She's like, my biggest challenge at the moment is getting the husband to accept more stray pussies.
Oh, I love pussies. I've set up a sanctuary for pussy. Strays, stray pussies, unhomable pussies, pussies from the street. Pussies without hair. You love me, right, pussy?
And it claws her. She's like,
hey, whiskey, you're stagging my snookins. I love pussy. They're so independent. What
did she said?
They go away.
I feel like I missed a lot of this show.
I mean, I was dying at her. She's like,
they're independent. They go their own way. And they never come when they're called. When I think about it, I'm probably a pussy.
She's like, I even had my gardener, Alan, put a little tire into their cage. That way they could pretend like they're going off into heaven.
Memory of yesterday when you almost took my stockings out.
Oh, I keep collecting these cats, but none of them will sing for me.
Alan, the farm manager, is probably like her second fiance that's just like, I love you. I'm never leaving you. And she's like, fine, do the garden. Also the dishes. She just has him doing all of this stuff.
And she's like, Alien sees me as a sister, I'm sure. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. Every time you make him polish the random glass figurine, he's like, ah, love my sister.
She's so funny. She puts on these little boots, these little pink rain boots to walk through the backyard.
She's like, Alien! 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 I need to talk to you urgently about the Grove.
Alien, I put on my galoshes. Alien. And I love when it comes back to like present tense. She just goes on a rant, much like we would, about champagne glasses. Oh, I hate when people hold champagne glasses up here, not by the stem. It warms it up, those stupid slags.
I know, Susan. Is it Susan? Sorry, I keep forgetting the white girl's name. Julia. She's like,
oh, she's always talking, even telling me how to hold a champagne glass. Or I'd hold it like that. She goes, I know you're busy, but I hope you can come to my birthday. Because that's the only one day that can all be about me. And it would be lovely if you'd come. She's like, would I miss it?
I'm literally doing nothing else right now.
Oh, so I'm trying to see. Let's see. She's like, we went to a fashion parade, and it was lovely. But Angela, she sure gave us a view. You don't give Gilda and Louise fashion guides, all right? They don't need fashion guides. I'm trying to even read my notes. There are so many here that I'm trying to connect the dots, basically.
Well, I see that they're talking about how Gilda is 40 years younger than her ex. And they're like, man, can you believe it? She's 40 years younger. Wow. And then they start laughing about Gilda being a gold digger. They're like, well, I'm not saying she's a gold digger, but she hasn't been with any broke, if you know what I mean.
She hasn't been with any broke pussies, I'll tell you that much. If she's willing, Lord knows I've got one for her, don't I, Shampers?
Susan's like, well, maybe she won't call her a gold digger. I wrote down a different white girl name every time she came on screen. I'm so sorry. She's like,
well, then
Anne won't call her a gold digger. Because maybe she thinks I'm a gold digger as well. I'm like, you are. You are a gold digger as well.
As evidenced by you and your husband, Mark, walking around your vineyard and being like, oh, I think I'm the perfect wife. I wrote down, perfect. That's how she says perfect. Perfect.
She's like, I was thinking of a girl's trip. And he's like, oh, I'd like to come on the girl's trip. And she's like, no, it's not for the boys. Well, I thought it would be nice for the boys to come. I pay for the pants and I get into the pants. That's my role. I was like, okay, old man. Keep it calm over there.
So now they are going to go to – it's for Julia's birthday party. I think that's what they were talking about, having a birthday party with just girls. And now it's the birthday party, and the women are showing up. And I think I may have heard this wrong, but did Anne's – as they're arriving for lunch, did Anne go, it's not Asian, is it?
Yes.
She's like, yeah, it's not Asian, is it?
gives me a little bit of the woo-woos in the stomach.
The only thing I'm not going to eat. So let's see. Angela. Oh, so yeah, they take a limo, right?
They all get into a limo except for Michelle and Gilda, who take a Rolls to the party.
Yeah,
and Gilda's taking duck face selfies in the backseat.
Yeah, they both get into the backseat because one thing we didn't mention that Gilda said in the beginning, she's like, "I'm Gilda. I love social media."
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and because she and then she explains that she runs a PR firm and all this other stuff. So Michelle apparently loves social media too because they get in their car to go to a helicopter. Or they're like, there's the beast. And then you just see them in the car and they're both on their phones. And the music goes, dum, 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 dum. And they're just silent looking at their phones like an old married couple.
We should probably mention the fact that Gilda has shoes that have lips on them.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
And also, I'd like to thank Bruno Mars for showing up to play the helicopter pilot. What was that? It was so crazy.
Oh, gosh. I don't even remember a helicopter.
Yeah, they took a helicopter, and Gilda's like, yeah, we don't want to be packed into a limo like sardines.
Oh, I didn't
Wait,
even...
did they go into a helicopter? Maybe I they just went into a nice car, because I wrote
down... Rolls-Royce.
Oh, so it was just a Rolls. I thought they were going to come in a helicopter. Maybe somebody wrote a joke, said a joke about it, and I took it as for real.
No, they were in a Rolls-Royce. I was like, I don't remember a helicopter.
So they're warned, you know, they're already talking about this fucking Angela chick, and Michelle's like, oh, I really want to meet Angela. Oh, I'm really secretly excited to meet her. Like, she cannot wait to dig into this girl.
I know. And I also love, that in this scene, I believe when the limo people show up, Angela and Anne are standing right next to each other. So you have Anne, who is all of like 3'7", and then Angela, who's 7'9", and they're just like walking next to each other, like a little toadstool and a redwood, you know. The difference in sizes makes me laugh.
Yeah, and Angela's like, "Well, I'll be meeting Gilda again. I'm just gonna have to take it one step at a time." Like battling alcoholism.
One very slow step at a time, because I walk very, very slowly.
Don't want to cause another Christchurch quake.
So rude. So they're showing up, and Julia has some anxiety about this luncheon because she doesn't want Angela to jeopardize her new friendships with Gilda and Michelle. Because I guess Gilda and Michelle are newer, and Julia really wants to be friends with them, but she's afraid that Angela's going to ruin it all.
Yeah, and she just wants to be like tacky with the other ladies, but also still be nice to Angela, and it's obviously not going to be possible. So they're all there, and Anne's like, "Ladies, why don't you come in the limo with us? What a time. It was a car that was stretched out real long, like. We turned the music way up, crazy times. Pussy." And
we could have had so many cats in that car. It was so big.
Michelle's like, "Well, actually, I don't like limousines. I find them tacky."
Which is something that only like a nouveau riche person would say.
She's like, "Well, it depends on what you use them for. Getting places. If you use them to get places to your own birthday party, it's not tacky, is it? It's not tacky that we took it to come here, is it?"
So then the best part happens, which is they're all talking about, you know, Michelle's new, and they're talking about Michelle being a model, because Michelle really was a model. I mean, Michelle's, you know, gorgeous and everything. And so Michelle's talking about modeling, and Julia, being the pot stirrer of the group, she's like, "Oh, you know that Angela's a model too." And so Michelle just goes, "Oh, really? Plus size?" Just comes right out with it.
And Angela's right smile gets even bigger, which means she's about to blow. She's like, "What?" And she's like, I'm just saying.
"Sorry, I'm just saying." To be fair, if Angela were a real model, I think that she wouldn't take any offense to that.
Angela's like, plus size model is a size 16. Do I look like a size 16? How dare she?" And Anne's like, "Oh, I was upset for her. If it was me, I'd have a smack coming back."
So Angela goes, "I'm actually the face of Tourism New Zealand. You may have seen their fall couture line in a drugstore near you." And by couture, I mean a postcard.
Tourism New Zealand. And Gilda goes, that's not clothes.
Angela said, it's fashion. It's fashion. For example, the last time I did a runway, I was wearing a bus stop. Everybody quite liked the film poster that was on the front of me.
Listen, I'm on the side of a bus, and I have nowhere to go with that. I'm sorry, everyone.
It's like I was in new potholes in the street one year. That went over real well. I kept telling people, watch out, boys, or I'll blow my lid. Get it? Get it? Get it, everybody? It's fishing. And Gilda's like, oh, I thought you meant that you were going to do the, you know, the finger walk or whatever. And she goes, you mean the catwalk? Is that what you mean? Because that's what we call it in fishing.
Anne's like, cats! I like that Julia then tries to jump in. And
it's called a pussy walk!
And Julia goes, oh, I was a model too. And then everyone, she's like all excited. Everyone's like, really? And then someone else is like, well, I modeled also. No, I did too. And you just see her, they cut to her face and her smile just descends into sadness. Like, oh, all right, very well. Then I guess no one cares about my modeling.
Yeah, she's like, I did modeling. And, you know, then everyone else says they did modeling. Would it be so hard for them to treat me like I'm the model here since it's my birthday?
Everyone's like, why is the bus lady singing? I mean, talking. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I meant bus boy. And see, I can't get my words out.
The who hurt the bus stop? She's like, who hurt the bus stop's feelings? And Gilda goes, well, you know, one thing I've always believed, I don't rely on my physical appearance to get anywhere. I'm like, oh, really? 20-year-old who married a 70-year-old rich fuck? You think that was because you were so intelligent at 20 and he just couldn't stay away from your glittery personality? You totally relied on your looks to get where you are. Who the fuck totally. Are you kidding, Gilda?
So Gilda starts talking about, like, again, how she doesn't use her, she's never had to use her beauty professionally, and she's not an actress, she's not a model, and she's very proud of the fact that she's neither of those things. And then Angie starts to cry, which is a classic, I want to be center of attention, and now Gilda's talking, move, you know? Yeah. So she just starts to cry out of nowhere.
And Gilda goes, oh, what? What?
What is wrong, big lady?
What is she? Why is she doing that? And then Michelle goes,
oh, a tourism model just, is crying.
Yeah, she's like, crying. Oh, ha, ha. Like Michelle's basically laughing in her face.
So, classic plus size model cry.
I'll tell you what, it's not making her thinner. Louise and Birthday Girl take her outside to cry on the balcony, even though it's right past the plate glass window, so everybody's looking at them. And Gilda's like I'm dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded. And Anne goes, oh, I didn't say something, did I? It's like, no, yeah. Anne. Like, you have not said anything, okay?
Yes, you've just been there drunk in the corner. We love that. That's good. Michelle so outside.
Goes, Michelle goes, yes. It couldn't be the plus size modeling. That was ages ago.
I mean, that was 5 minutes ago. We all know any good model can't remember things past 3 minutes.
Things that big don't have very large brains. Very small memories. Everyone knows it.
Plus size model, minus size brain. So outside, Angela is clutching her chest dramatically. And she's like, I can't believe the plus size comment. I mean, here I am, a classic haute couture model who throws leaves on her head. How could she say those things to me? I model for Tourism New Zealand.
Tourism? Have you noticed how many people come to New Zealand? That's because of my fishing. That's why they're here.
The way I hold up that brochure in the brochure photo is just simply amazing. I can't believe she doesn't recognize that.
Louise is like, oh, I don't get glad, I get glad. She's like, I don't get mad, I get glad. Sorry, messed that one up. But so Louise is trying to help her stuff. With, like, feeling better. And she's like, I don't think that woman thought you looked bad. I think she thought, holy crap, you're gorgeous. You're hugely gorgeous.
Louise is like, I was acting.
That was acting, yeah.
I mean, so here's my feeling. I mean, obviously what Michelle said was super bitchy and passive aggressive and hilarious. But truthfully, you know, she was a model. And I actually think that if you're a plus size model, you're aware of sort of what lane you're in and why you are a plus size model and how you, like, you know the differences and you don't take it as a you don't take it as an insult that you're plus size. You're actually probably pretty proud of it. Like, yeah, I found my thing here. I'm plus size. I'm curvier. So the fact that Angela got so upset shows how deluded she is, I think.
Yeah, because she isn't a normal sized model.
Yeah.
And if she's not even she never fat.
If she never said she was a model, and if Michelle just called her a plus size model, if Michelle said, you should model, you could be a plus size model, then she can cry all she wants. But don't say, yeah, I'm a model. And then she says, oh, plus size, and then be upset about it. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Totally. So on the inside, Gilda's like, well, she might be tired. Maybe it's that time of the month. And laughs, and she goes, ha-ha, that's too close to home, honey. Talking like that. And then Gilda goes, happens to everyone, right? And Michelle goes, no, and looks at Anne. She's like, no. Because Anne's the older one. And she goes, I don't know what she's talking about, but I have no intention of going ever. I never have any intention of going through my life's change, right? My mother went through hormone replacement till she was 83, and then she died. And she looked fabulous dead.
I said, listen, you eggs, you get right back into my body, and you stay there until I die. So then... Angela comes back in with a big smile, and Michelle, so bitchy, is like, sorry, did we say anything to offend you? And so then, who's Michelle? I wrote down someone's
Michelle's
name.
The model. Michelle's the bitchy model. Gilda's
okay.
Friend, yeah.
Sorry. I'm getting the first episode. It's always a little tricky.
I know, it's hard because I keep writing everybody's name down wrong.
Do you like how I said, so Michelle says da-da-da-da, and then Michelle, wait, who's Michelle?
I know. Sometimes people listening to this show must just be banging their heads on the steering wheel, especially so with a new show. My God.
I know. So Angela's again doing this. You know, it's really rude. You said I was plus size, yada, yada, yada. So Michelle goes, sweetie, with tits like that, you're not a normal size model. Get over it.
Don't say I've offended you. I've already heard from Gilda, so I kind of knew what to expect. But what about the tear thing? What about that tear thing you did? Was that pretend? Because then suddenly there's tears. I mean, if somebody offended me, you know. I mean, look, now she's not crying. You know, it's a show. Was it a show that you were doing?
I love how she just turned it around and started pelting her. Like, you fake cried.
And yeah, so and she wasn't wrong.
She goes, it was a performance? No. And you know, what does plus size model even mean? And she goes, it means like it sounds. Are you plus because you're not average size? That's what it means. And Louise goes, it means anorexic. And Angela goes, I'll tell you what size I am. I'm woman sized.
I'm New Zealand size, as in New Zealand tourism. Come to our country. We already live here, you stupid bitch.
Next season, kayaks. Wait till you see me walk it down the runway, bitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Jackson.
I'm like trying to think of New Zealand stars. All I can think of is Lord and Peter Jackson. I'm sure there are others, but I can't think of any of them.
So my friend Michelle's Rachel. Like, oh, well, look. Oh, your friend Rachel what?
No, that's the only other person I know from New Zealand.
Your friend Rachel. Please make some friend Rachel references.
Here's my friend Rachel.
Julia's like, I just want to enjoy my birthday.
Why do you have to fake your tears on my birthday? So Michelle's like, oh my God, those tears are gone now, aren't they?
And Susan's like, or that white lady's like,
Julia,
back to me. It's the one day I get to celebrate my birthday. Pay me compliments, not just insults to each other.
Could someone tell the candlestick to stop talking?
And then now Angela has decided that she's going to yell instead of cry because crying didn't work. And she doesn't really yell either, but in her positive throwing leaves up in the air kind of a way, she's like, that was disgusting at the fashion show. So rude. You didn't stand when I raved. It was the worst etiquette I've seen. It's disgusting. And Gilda goes, I got up and said hi. She's like, no, you didn't. You shook my hand. And Michelle goes, well, I can vouch for her. That's how she is, handshaker.
Yeah. Good old fishing handshaker.
And then Angela goes, you zip it. Why don't you zip it, little minus size model? She's like, well, she's my friend and I have her back, crying lady. And Gilda's like, I'm not judgmental, but I observe. And when people have smile with everything they say and teeth, it's like always there, these teeth. It's like, don't you have emotions? Do you only have teeth? Why are you smiling? Which, you know, that's when Gilda became my bitch.
Yes. No, Gilda from the beginning, first scene, I was like, I thought I was going to hate her. But the way she reacted to Angela, I was like, ooh, I love Gilda. And then they start talking about the Oprah thing again. And Gilda's like, you know, Oprah Winfrey, you know, she listens more. You have to listen more and speak less. That's what you have to do. Listen more and speak less. And then Louise, trying to smooth it over, goes, I think what Gilda is saying is, listen more and speak less. I'm like, yeah, she said those exact words, Louise. I know. That was my Gilda impersonation. Acting.
She's like, if you want to be like Oprah, get a little red wagon and carry some of your fat around in it. Right? That's what you should do.
If you want to be more like Oprah, what you should do is throw yourself into the river and die, okay? Goodbye.
And poor Angela is just trying so hard to fight with Gilda, because Gilda and Michelle were totally rude. They should be on the losing end of this, but Angie's making such an ass out of herself. She's like, well, all I'm doing is answering questions. It's like I'm on Oprah, not Oprah. And Gilda's like, all I said was it's not all about you if you're going to be Oprah, okay? And she goes, well, look, you know, I'm not that rude. And she goes, oh, you're not rude? You're rude enough to call me disgusting and rude enough to come after me, and you are not rude? Are you delusional? And it's like, dun, dun, dun.
And then this, and this is, so, it actually reminded me of Bridesmaids. What was, you know, what's her name? The nemesis of Kristen Wiig's character in it. I can't even remember her real name in real life. The Irish actress, Rose Byrne. Her character, you know, the way she was so perfect and the one upper. And so here they are going down, like just attacking Angela. And then all of a sudden the waiter comes with this cake, an improperly iced cake, by the way. You're not supposed to be able to see the cake halves through the icing. And it comes and Angela's like, well, here's something I tried to do something nice for once, but I guess I'm just awful. And then the cake comes. It's like the worst birthday ever.
And it totally works for Julia, though, because she's like, Angela, she arranged flowers for me, and now she's arranged a cake with flowers on top. She's adorable. It's like the only one who was nice to her on her birthday.
It was so perfect. Like, I love a passive aggressive. It wasn't even, the cake was not even passive aggressive. It was just edited in so perfectly passive aggressive. Like, oh, I'm just a victim here. You guys are beating up on me, but look, I got a cake.
And so I love how she did it, too. She goes, well, I'm not sure this is going to go well in the future. All right, then. I've arranged something.
Yes.
It's like, I get the last word, and I brought a cake. And then it ends with Anne going, I'll tell you what. Who would ever want a birthday like that? It's not the birthday from hell. Oh!
And then the camera pans out, and we see that she's just talking to a cat. Am I right, Fliffiniffins?
This show is going to be amazing.
It's going to be absolutely amazing, and I promise to take better notes next week, because I feel like I was constantly like, wait, oh yeah, that.
Well, I took tons of notes, but when you don't remember, you can't do shorthand for names, especially if I don't know them, you know? And I'm like, wait a minute, where am I? They did a lot of jumping around in this episode, like, where the fashion show?
We're trying
to
take everything in and try to get a sense of what the show is all about, so.
Yeah, it'll get more legible next week, I'm sure.
So before we wrap up for the week, you know, it is Friday, so why don't we do a little Crappins mailbag?
Shall we not do
a little bit of that? You know what I'm saying? So Crappins mailbag is where listeners get to write in questions, and we read them on the air. If you want to write in your questions, go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins and support us at the mailbag level or above. And then you can ask your question. We always really like this segment. And we have a brand new mailbag filled with new questions. Let's see. Let's start with, good old Mike Bowman, one of our favorites. Mike once sent me chocolates. It was very nice. Yeah. So Mike asks, or he sort of says, hi, guys. Luann has her opinion, but I want to know, where does love start?
Where does love start?
Where does love start?
You go first. I don't know how to answer that. How the hell would I know when you go adopt your dog?
It starts on the yacht. With elegant people all around. That's where love starts.
Love starts when you see how cute your names look together in page 6.
Mike is probably so mad at us because he wrote this question 2 weeks ago. And it probably made more sense then because it was probably a reference to something that we said or was on the show. But now it's 2 weeks later because we went to New York. He's probably like, you guys messed up my question.
Yeah, thanks a lot, jerks. I like that he's Shannon Bedore in your head.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Mike? Love starts with you. It starts with you in Wisconsin.
Mike, we love you. Love starts this Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific time at the Crappins Hangout.
Love. Well, that was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Love
that was last
night. You know what? It makes me want to sing that Vanessa Williams Brian McKnight song. Love takes your heart. I don't know the lyrics, so I just sort of mumble through them.
Yeah, well, remember don't let song? Me stop you.
It was from the 90210 soundtrack. It's a great song. Great, great song. So, Mike, thanks for asking the question. Sorry we just totally messed it up. So we go from one Mike to another, Michael Horn. He says, so I just started a new job and my boss's name is Shannon, which of course got me to thinking about what it would be like to have Shannon Bedore as a boss. What type of boss do you guys think she would be like?
Shannon Bedore. Oh my gosh. Well, I'll just do it myself. She'll be that kind of boss. She'll be like, all right, staff, we're going to have a meeting. Today, I want these Frappuccinos to be... You know what? I'm just going to make all the Frappuccinos. Okay? I'll make them all myself because that's what I'm going to do. Should I write the names on the cups, too? Should I do that, too, David? And every cup will just say, David. David.
It's like, all right, we have coffees for David. David. And David. She would be a passive-aggressive micromanager, without a doubt. Okay, so do we have the expenses done? No, we don't have the expenses. No, we don't have the expense reports done. Okay, no, it's fine. I just thought that maybe they might be ready by now. You know, I did ask for them 2 weeks ago, but no, that's fine. I'll just do them myself. No. Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by unfinished expense reports.
Well, thank you for coming in for your employee review. So the first thing I'd like to say is, do I look good? Tell me the truth. Do I look okay? Does this fit me right? I feel really weird in this. This isn't normally my type of suit wear. Do you like it? You do? Do you really like it? Do you love it? Or do you just like... Are you saying that because I'm your boss or because you really like it? If I hadn't asked you how this outfit looks on me, would you have told me? Or is it me eliciting a response from you? Because I would never want to do that. All right. Well, fine. All right. I guess I get an F on my review. Thank you for coming in.
Do you see this slump in sales? This slump in sales right here? That's Vicky Gunvalson. All of this. But we work in microprocessors. I don't care. It's Vicky Gunvalson. This downward trend is Vicky Gunvalson. David. Here lies Shannon Bedore. 30 to 40 negative sales.
She would just be the worst to work for.
Shannon would be the worst. I think that's why they don't have any regular employees. Or she'd be that one who's always trying to tell a joke.
Like, hey, Marita, you're making eggs, huh? Hey, do you hear the one why the chicken didn't cross the road? All right, keep up the good work.
It's like, what?
Or she'd be like, you know, your work here has been so excellent. It makes me so, so happy. Ha! Really great. Ha! But I'm sorry, we won't be needing your services anymore. She's probably the first manager forever who enjoys doing expense reports. Let's look at this receipt right here. Oh, this is interesting, Missy. Charging this to the expense account. I wonder who paid for this sugary meal. David. Never used to like going to Sushi Zumba. I don't even know what that is, Sushi Zumba. You eat sushi and do Zumba? David. She just probably loves showing up into a room saying like, well, I would like to talk to you about your expenses. Can you explain this one, Missy?
Dun, dun, dun. She's probably like, boop.
Dolores, hi. I'm just looking over this expense report you turned in. You had a Caesar salad and a steak. Could you please tell me which had more calories, the Caesar salad or the steak?
I'd like you know, thank you, board, for meeting me here. I have my wills and my wishes, and if you don't follow through, I'll see to it that you're all fired. Every single one of them. I start CEOs.
I'm terrified of thinking Shannon ever being in charge of anybody ever.
You're so wispy, wispy, wispy.
What else we got in that mailbag, Ben?
I think that's it for this week. So we will be back next week with more questions. And I would play the closing music, but my computer's frozen. So that's just
oh, well, there you go. There we everybody, go. Thank you so much. We will talk to you next week.
Bye, everyone. Have a great weekend. Bye.